super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
We are 1 week away from Horror Realm, September 21st to the 23rd in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And tonight we have the promoter of Horror Realm on, Rich, and a special guest who's been here before. You know him, you love him. Welcome back to the show, Sid Haig.
Hey, it's good to be back, man. How you doing?
Good, good. What were you chiming in there in the back? Mr. Rich?
I just said hello. Yeah, I just said hello.
Okay, well, you got to keep it up here, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. We got to. He's a promoter, Sid. We got to prompt him.
Yeah. Because they're not used to being out front.
You know? Yeah.
I only do one radio show. It's yours, Pete, so I'm not too experienced yet.
I'll sell it to you cheap, I'll tell you. I will. So, Sid, what, besides coming to Horror Realm for the very first time, which I'm sure you're excited about and everything, you've been filming something lately, too, right?
Yeah. I just finished a film called High on the Hog in the farmlands of Illinois. I mean, I had no idea how much... I thought I was in Iowa, okay? I mean, you could swing a dead cat and hit a cornfield. Yeah.
One of those places where excitement just hits you in the face the minute you drive through the town, I guess.
Yeah. It was very cool. People were very cool to work with. And it was a very young crew, and they were learning, and they were excited. And so it just... it was a good experience all the way around.
You still in Illinois now?
What was that?
You still in Illinois now?
No. I got back for Susie's birthday, as a matter of fact. So we did that, and her parents came out from Philly. Had a good time doing that.
Oh, very cool. Give her my best. I didn't know it was her birthday. Was it a couple days ago?
She was born on the same date as my daughter, 9/11. You don't forget that birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, mine's Sunday.
Well, happy birthday, man.
Thank you, the big 6-0. Never thought I'd make it.
You're still a kid. You're still a kid. Come on.
Oh, yeah, please. Tell it to my arthritis. Yeah. So, you're just coming out for 2 days for Horror Realm, correct? Or are you doing the whole weekend?
I'm doing 2 days because I have something that I have to shoot on Friday. So I'm taking the red eye out on Saturday, and I'll be there Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, cool. And Rich, who else do you have coming out besides Sid? I know he's your headliner. Who else do you have?
We also have Doug Bradley, Daniel Harris, Ming Stoll, Ken Foray, Tiffany Shepis, Brian O'Halloran. Of course, a lot of our local dead guests, Kyra Sean, Lori Cardill, Mark Tierno, the list goes on with the local dead guests. And we also have Rochelle Davis, who you may remember from The Crow. She played Sarah, the little girl in the movie. So we're pretty excited about the guest list this year.
Yeah, it sounds like a good one.
Best one.
Yeah, what do you got going on after hours, too?
After hours, Friday night, when the dealer room closes at 10, we have we put on that cabaret each year, which is just a bunch of kind of sideshow acts and freaks and talented people, and we just do that for a couple hours. Keep it a little bit calm Friday night, and then Saturday, after the dealer room closes. We got a band playing out by the poolside bar until 10, and then it moves inside into the bar restaurant, and we have a DJ going till 2 o'clock, and the costume party, the theme is a horror prom theme, so it should be a lot of fun.
So what do you got Sid doing through all this?
Sorry?
I said, what do you have Sid doing through all this?
What do we have Sid doing through all this? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, that's what I said. What do you have Sid doing?
Well, of course, you know, the dealer room meeting with the attendees, and then on Sunday we were going to have them do a panel, and then also on Saturday night from 8 to 10, there's going to be a VIP party, and hoping that he and Doug will make a stop in and say hello to everybody.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking fine. You know, kind of, you've been there before. We kind of let the attendees, they seem to kind of create the after-hours events to themselves. You've been to the VHS room, which seems to never end. There'll be a party going there till the next day.
Yeah, and I think I did a drunken live broadcast from there last time, too.
You did.
Pete.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you excuse me just a minute? I got to go answer the door.
Okay.
I'll be back. Don't worry.
Okay. Oh, we're still taping, right? Are we still
going? Hey, Pete, can I throw something in there real quick, if you don't mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned it's downtown Pittsburgh. But we're actually in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. We're at the Crown Plaza South, which is across from South Hills Village. It's about 10 minutes outside of the city of Pittsburgh, just in case somebody not familiar with our show is looking for it.
Well, they should just go on the website, horrorrealm.com, and then get all the information there.
That's true. That is true, yeah. www.horrorrealmcon.com.
And whatever you do, don't follow Ken from Cinema Wasteland there, because he prints out directions that are no fucking good. I swear to God, he told me my GPS would not work there, and I'm like, we're driving around for like, you know, in circles, and I'm like, I'm turning this on now. This is the way we go.
You can't come to Pittsburgh and not drive around in circles for a while. It's the way the city's set up. I swear they do it to mess you up.
Yeah. Yep.
Been here my whole life, and I still drive in circles sometimes.
Yeah. Oh well. All right. Well, moving right along. So, what are you working on now that you finished up the other film?
My Next Breath.
Your next.
Yeah. I'm preparing for a very heavy, next, like 7 or 8 weeks. Because I'm booked every weekend, starting with Horror Realm. And I've already done like 4 or 5 conventions. So, I'm just kind of gearing up.
Yeah, I know. You're like the Energizer buddy out there. I know you're at, I think you're at Days of the Dead also in November, I believe.
November is supposedly my last one.
Okay.
But you never know. Somebody might have something in mind for me for December or something. I don't know. Spalding Christmas.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I know. Someone was talking about it. It's going to be 10 years since House of 1,000 Corpses, and they're talking about doing something with that, I've been hearing, too.
Yeah. Nathan is doing a House of 1,000 Corpses reunion.
Okay, that sounds good. What's is that going to be like a little bit of a tour thing with you guys?
Like a little doing what?
Like a little bit of a tour, like hitting various shows with it?
No. It's just the one show. The Horror Hound show. And that's next year, yeah.
Oh, it's next year.
Yeah.
A lot of shows going on, my friend. A lot of shows.
Yeah. And I've got like 4 shows booked for next year already.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I try to get a hold of her, it's like...
People keep telling me I'm too old, but I'm not listening.
No, I don't blame you. But, you know, everybody says, well, you know, Sid's here, Sid's there. I says, yeah, but Sid is still drawing a huge crowd, and fans love Sid, so why shouldn't Sid be everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I'll go, you know, I'll go anywhere anybody wants to show up.
And anything coming up on the movie front?
Well, I just went on an audition today, so I don't know if I'll be doing that or not, but we'll see. I'm sure something will be up, because I did 7 pictures last year, and 7 pictures and 12 conventions. I was tired at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't blame you. What do you think? You're going to take a month off at the end of this year?
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything scheduled for January. Yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You never know. You finished up the Lords of Salem thing for Rob Zombie, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard, there's a lot, you know, how the internet is. This stuff bounces all over the place. But this I'm hearing a lot of good things about. Seems like it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about any releases or anything like that. I'm out of the loop. So
they had a sneak peek at Rob Zombie's concert this summer. It looks really cool.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, it was about a 5-minute trailer. It was great. It was unexpected too. I was real excited when they played it. Can't wait to see the movie.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still excited about some of the lower budget indie films that I've got involved in, because I get a chance to do something different, you know.
Yeah.
Which is always good, and something I'm always looking forward to.
And you've done about 7 of them this year, you said.
What was that?
You did like about 7 of these indie films this year?
I should have like 6 or 7 films in release this year. Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can feel like a slacker with my life.
No, it's just that's I've always been that way. It's like it's tough for me to get the sleep done sometimes, because my brain is always working. So might as well make my body do the same.
Yeah, I've had that happen where I get psyched up for a project and it just takes myself over, or I just live, eat, and dream it, and sleep it, and everything. So yeah, I understand that. Your body wants to go to sleep, and your mind just keeps it awake.
Yeah, yeah. And plus the fact we have, we're into an election year again, and so that keeps my head moving.
Yeah, which way are you leaning, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm looking for a third-party candidate.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking myself. I can't stand either one of these two.
No, neither one of them have a clue about what's going on in this country, so best to just stay away from both of them.
Yeah, I've never seen it this bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really then there's crap overseas yesterday with Libya, those attacks and stuff.
So explain to me what the hell we're doing over there.
I have no idea. Yeah,
losing an average of one person every day, every single day, one American citizen dies defending what? Certainly not this country.
No.
We wouldn't have all the illegal aliens that we got, okay? And an average of 18 military personnel a day commit suicide. Okay? And we're still over there. Doing what?
Wow.
Trying to shove our way of life down somebody else's throat that has absolutely no idea what democracy is. They can't even understand the concept. So what the hell are we doing there?
At this stage of the game, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's we're not saving anybody. We're not defending anything. It's nothing. We're not even getting any oil out of the deal. Okay.
Yeah.
there's no point. At least you know Vietnam. We had 47 offshore wells that we were defending. Nothing like that's going on here. It's just our presence is there, and we have to, you know, somehow be big brother to the world. And the world doesn't want us. All they want is our money.
Yeah. And they got that already, because we ain't got it.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you how crazy it is. I did a convention in Calgary, Canada, last year, and I sent my stuff, all my merchandise and stuff early, and I got a call from the Canadian customs office, and the guy says, it says on this box that there are shirts inside. Yeah. What kind of shirts? Well, they advertise films that I've done. And where were these shirts made? And I said, the United States. The guy goes, no, they weren't. I said, how do you know that? He said, because the United States doesn't make T-shirts. The United States of America does not make something as simple as a T-shirt. I had to send my manager out to his garage where he had some shirts of George Romero's and look at the tag to see where they were made. They were made in Mexico. So I called the customs guy back and I said they were made in Mexico, and that satisfied the deal.
Oh, so, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went off on that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, because I says, find me a pair of jeans that are made in this country now. There isn't any.
Yeah, there isn't any. No. There was a little old lady, and I don't think she was from Pasadena, but there was a little lady that got under Diane Sawyer's bonnet because she said that she went to the grocery store and she wanted to buy some a can of mandarin oranges. And there was one that was 7 cents more than the other one. So she picked up the can, and the one that was 7 cents less was produced in China, and the one that was 7 cents more was produced in the United States. And she bought the one from the United States. Okay?
Yeah.
Which sent Diane Sawyer's investigative team out and to work. Okay? And it was brought out that if you took everything that is made in China out of your house, you'd be sitting in a pretty empty house. And but if you were willing to spend $64 more a year, and that's spread over everything that you buy, but if you're willing to spend $64 more a year than you're spending right now, you would put 200,000 Americans back to work.
Yeah, I saw that show. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Hate to get political on you, but, you know, that's what I am.
No, and I know that. I'm the same way. It's completely absurd where, you know, when you probably have the same problem I do, because you got big feet. Going to these stores and putting on everything, like I wear a size 12 and a half, and I got to wear like a 13 or a 14 to get a fit, because all the shoes are made in Bangladesh or some other friggin' place, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If something goes wrong with your computer, who do you talk to? Some guy in India or Pakistan?
Oh, yeah. Even worse. Good.
We had a problem with our cable at one point. And so my wife calls, you know, customer service or tech support, whatever, and talks to some guy in Argentina. And that's the way it is with everything.
Yeah, I know. eBay's using India for customer service. I had to call in because something happened. And I'm like, why can't I understand a word you're saying? And it was something about I had a bunch of crap in dispute, which was over $100. And I said, do not cancel the dispute because of, I gave them some kind of reason. All right, 2 days later, they canceled the thing. I call them, why? They go, well, you didn't email us. I talked to customer service. And they're like, well, yeah, that doesn't count. I'm like, holy shit. I mean, really?
Yeah. I know. I had computer problems, and I'm talking to some guy in India. And this is nothing against Indians, okay?
Or no,
Pakistanis,
it's not.
Or Argentinians, or anybody else. It's against, you know, it's against these guys like Mitt Romney's dad, who was one of the first guys who started doing outsourcing. And Mitt Romney was so proud of his father, if you remember that quote.
Yeah.
From 2 or 3 weeks ago. But, you know, I'm on the phone with this guy for 2 hours, and he's telling me to do one thing, and then he's telling me to do something else, and then telling me to do something else. And I said, you really don't know what you're talking about, do you? You're looking this thing up, flipping through the pages as you're talking to me, trying to solve my problem, and you don't even know what the hell you're doing. And I said, I want to talk to an American tech support person from and in the United States of America, and I want to talk to him now. And if you don't put them on the phone, I'm going to sue this company up one side and down the other. That's the end. In 10 minutes, I was talking to somebody in the United States who knew exactly what they were doing. Push this button, push that button, boom, and everything was fine.
Yeah, and
but I spent 2 hours on the phone with this idiot from India who didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Yeah, and for those who aren't in the know, legally, if you ask to speak to an American, they have to transfer you to an American. That's the law, or some kind of law anyway, but I've had to do that myself.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is. And, you know, what else sucks is, you know, you're sort of pigeonholed because there's certain things you can't buy because nobody else makes them but China.
Yeah.
Right now. So.
Yeah. And, you know, those are the wonderful people that brought you lead in children's toys and tainted baby food and
tainted cat food. Yeah.
Yeah, and the small magnets that pinch off the intestines of small children who swallow them, and on and on and on. Those things were made. If a teddy bear was made in the United States, you'd have to swallow the whole damn bear to choke. Okay.
Yeah.
Not just pull out one of his eyes so easily that it's ridiculous. Stuff that kids explore with their mouths. If nobody's figured that out by now. Let me just tell you, that's how they figure shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give something, give a kid anything, the first thing that happens is it goes in their mouth. Stuff.
Yeah. And Rich, you have kids. You should be chiming in on this.
Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, they're 10 and 8 now, and boys, it made me nervous. You know, all looking for recalls and things of that nature. Just like Sid said, everything goes straight to the mouth, so you're always knocking it out of their hand before it goes in the mouth. And yeah, it was toys shouldn't be a stress factor, but they were while they were young.
Yeah.
And I still sit here and say thank God I never spawned and had to go through any of this shit.
Yeah. And now today I read in the paper that 15% of the population live below the poverty level. And that's just the ones that are still in the system.
Yeah.
We have an 8.9 unemployment rate. Those are figures that are people from people that are just in the system, not the ones that have lost their benefits already, because those people aren't even counted.
Yeah, I know. That sort of slips under the rug. We got more like a 15% unemployment rate, not an 8%.
Yeah, I see it every day. Pete knows what I do for a living, and I've never seen so many of my clients out of jobs, struggling. We, you know, in 17 years, I've never experienced anything like this. It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody listening right now, I have a challenge for you, okay? Tomorrow, I want you to go into your boss and say, I was thinking about this, and I just voted myself a raise, okay? And see how long it takes for your ass to hit the street. But yet, Congress can do that. They can have their own retirement program. Anybody with it, you know what? I'm stupid, okay? Because the situation right now, I should run for Senate. Serve one term. I get that money for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's amazing. Paid health care and everything on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to get the layman's, if you will, take on Obamacare. So I went to the woman who runs the billing department with my doctor. And I said, okay, so what's your take on Obamacare? She said, it's going to be a disaster. People don't know it yet, but all of the insurance companies are going to start raising their rates for uninsured people. And for the first 6 months, you're basically going to be on probation. Your deductible is going to be higher. Your rates are going to be higher. Everything is going to be higher. So what we have is the people that can't afford health care insurance right now won't be able to afford it then. And the only difference is going to be they will be fined for not being able to buy it. Now,
yeah.
In what language, in what country, in what planet does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't, because you'll get a kick out of this. Somebody said this to me. Because the first year, the fine's like $165, and I turned around and I said, sure beats $8,000 a year laying out for health insurance that ain't worth a shit. And they go, well, the second year is going to be $650. I said, again, still beats $8,000, and after the second year, I'm going to be 62, and I'm fucking retiring. I don't give a shit no more. So there. You know?
Well, you have to wait, because they're going to raise the age of retirement.
No, I can go out at 62. I found out.
Now, but they're looking at raising it to 65.
Oh, great! That's what you're supposed to have anyway.
Yeah,
and you can't get Medicaid till 65 right now. You can get the first.
Oh, and if Romney, if Romney gets in, there won't be any Medicaid. It's already been. I read that in a paper like 2 days ago. That's their health care plan. So, once again, the ones that take it in the ass are the ones that can't defend themselves, because most of the care that's given to the elderly comes through Medicaid. But if Romney gets in and does away with Medicaid, then, you know, it's like, well, you know what? You old bastard, just lay down and die.
Yeah, there's the Sarah Palin death camp deal, or whatever the hell, death panels deal, or whatever she was talking about.
It's like every time there are cuts, it affects the two groups of people that can't defend themselves, the elderly and the young.
Yep. It's always that way.
Yeah. Well.
Break time, Pete.
All right, you want to call Doug? I wondered where you went. You just disappeared.
I'm here. I've been here. I just didn't want to interrupt.
Well, be nice if you just fucking acknowledge your presence, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
you know,
throw stuff at people while they're trying to talk.
Well, we got political. What do you want?
I like it. I think it's great. You know, I like it.
I know. We could have a show just based. You know something? When you get off the road, maybe we'll do a show just based on that. You know.
I'm at Crypticon this year. I'm doing a town hall meeting.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
without saying goodbye. Another long distance, not alone. You leave me wanting, always leave me wanting more. Last word today, you're coming home to stay. Wouldn't that be nice for a while? But now I'm out.
Second Street Pete.
We're back, and Sid Haig is still with us, and we've been joined by Doug Bradley. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Hi, good evening. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, no problem. We have...
Hey, how are you doing?
Go ahead.
How are you doing, Doug? Sid Haig here.
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
How are you doing,
good.
Sid?
Doing great.
Good.
Still kicking.
So, Doug, you're part of the big lineup in Pittsburgh next weekend for Horror Realm. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm looking forward to that. It's a new show for me. I haven't done it before. I've only done one convention in Pittsburgh previously. That was about 4 years ago. It's good for me, too, because I'm actually in Pittsburgh at the moment. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to get on an aeroplane. I just drive, half an hour, and I'm right there. So it's great.
Yeah, Rich would probably pick you up if you asked him. He's here.
Oh, yeah, you know I would.
Nice way to commit.
No, I'd do anything. You know that. Pete knows I'll drive and pick you up.
Yeah, hold him to it. Ask for anything ridiculously crazy, and he will do it for you. He's that kind of guy.
I'll get riders on my contract.
Okay.
All right. You'll have to deal with Sandy then on that. Okay.
Oh, contracts at a horror convention? Never heard of such a thing.
What the hell are you from
people that haven't?
Yeah. So, Doug, what have you been up to lately, besides living in Pittsburgh?
Well, I've been in Pittsburgh since the beginning of August, and I had three conventions that I've been at in New Jersey and Kansas City and Gettysburg. So that was like the first few weeks. Since I was here, so I've just had a week or two of downtime and catching up with stuff.
Yeah, I know you ran into Todd out in Kansas City, and he somehow talked you into doing something for Jackalope.
Yep, it's going to be really awesome because Doug has an incredible audio series that he's been doing, Spine Chillers, and it's amazing. And I just got done actually conversing with Alex, and it's a go, and we're starting work on it right now, and I'm very, very excited to, you know, we announced it a little bit on Nightwatch. I'm very excited to say that, you know, working with Doug is going to be a just an honor and a privilege, and he's just a great guy, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, cool. Good.
I'm stoked.
So what exactly are these, like horror stories, per se?
Yes, it's basically classic horror short stories. When we started out, the first thing that we did was an audio-visual adaptation of The Outsider by H.P. Lovecraft. That is like a 20-minute short film, which I directed, and working with my colleague then, Tony Luke, Alex was producing. It's me narrating the story. I was filmed in front of green screen and then taken as an element and mixed with illustration and a small amount of animation to tell the story. Then out of that, Alex, in fact, suggested that we went ahead and did a series of straight audio recordings, which has grown to a 13-volume series. It's stories by Edgar Allan Poe and H.P. Lovecraft, Ambrose Bierce, who was a new discovery for me. I really didn't know Ambrose Bierce before we started this. I've become a huge fan of his as a result of it, and I think we pretty much have one story by each of those on writers on each volume. And then there's M.R. James, English, very famous English ghost story writer, stories like A Whistle and I'll Come to You, My Lad. We have W.W. Jacobs, The Monkey's Paw, which is probably one of the most famous short horror stories. Some Charles Dickens, Rudyard Kipling, Conan Doyle, W.F. Harvey, who wrote The Beast with Five Fingers, which was turned into a film. So it's quite a wide range. And we were also able to bring a couple of guest readers in. Robert Englund came in as part of the series and read The Terrible Old Man by H.P. Lovecraft, Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge by Ambrose Bierce, and one of Poe's poems as well. And then I approached Jeffrey Combs, who people will know from the Reanimator movies. And surprise, surprise, I asked him if he would read the Herbert West Reanimator stories,
H.P. Lovecraft stories, which he did, and he also read The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe, and a short Ambrose Bierce story called The Fruitless Assignment. So they're scattered through the series as well. And at this point, 9 volumes are out, and volume 10 is about to happen. The remaining 3 will be following in short order.
And fans can buy these?
That's the plan, yes. People don't buy them, we don't make money.
Right, exactly.
Yes, I mean, I always have copies with me at the conventions. And we did have a contract with Audible.com, which we just pulled because their terms are just outrageous. They were taking something like 70% from us. So we were actually doing good business through them, but we might as well not have been bothering for the money we were seeing. We've actually struck a new deal now with an organization called audiobooks.com. And people can also order them through my website, which is dougbradley.com. And those are the hard CD copies, which I will mail out to people if they want them signed by me. And they're also available from the Renegade website, which is renegadeartsentertainment.com, and they're available there as well as the CDs. You can also download individual stories.
Sounds really interesting, especially with the authors you just went through. I remember you brought up Ambrose Bierce. I remember one thing he wrote. I think it was called That Damned Thing. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's the kind of invisible beast prowling on people.
Right. I actually think they, when they were doing the Masters of Horror, I think it was for Showtime. I think it might have been Toby Hooper who directed that segment. I'm not 100% sure, but I remember that I'd seen it.
Nor am I at this time of night, but I think you're right. Yes.
Yeah. And that's a scary story.
He's an absolute revelation to me. And he's quite the character. I've really enjoyed kind of getting to know him, coming across details of his life. Bitter Bierce, he was known as, a wonderful cynic. I'm all in favor of cynicism. And he believed. That he described the novel as a short story padded, and he absolutely followed through on his belief. I mean, some of his stories are literally only a few pages long, but they're so packed with detail. Quite a few of his stories have now become some of my favorites, and as I say, before starting work on the series, I really didn't know him.
See, you know, as a kid growing up, because, like, you know, I would just say I'm going to be 60 Sunday. You know, we didn't have, like, Stephen King We didn't have, like, Stephen King or Jack Ketchum or anybody like that. We had, you know, Ambrose Bierce, H.P. Lovecraft, and Edgar Allan Poe. So that's, you know, what I think is cool. That's some of the stuff that I grew up on that, you know, people are rediscovering again.
Sure. I hope this will help that process along, too. I mean, everybody knows Edgar Allan Poe. I wonder how many people these days go back and read him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And they should.
There's a resurgence. They're going to start releasing all of the Roger Corman Poe films that he did, which is interesting.
How are they re-releasing them, Sid? On 35mm or on DVD? Cool.
DVD, right. Yeah.
They were among the films I kind of cut my horror teeth on as a teenager, discovering Hammer and then the Corman Price Poe series.
Yeah. To show you how sick I am, I think by the time I was 12 or 13 years old, I had read everything that Poe had ever written.
Right.
You know, and my favorite radio show was Inner Sanctum. It was great to have my parents go away to visit relatives for the evening, and I'd turn on all the lights and I'd listen to Inner Sanctum on the radio, which was basically a horror radio show. That was how I cut my teeth.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and the thing about that whole thing is, you know, going with the radio shows and things like that is you had to use your imagination. There was no visualization, no TV, no nothing. That was your entertainment, and you had to use your mind to depict what was going on, which, unfortunately, we don't have that anymore today.
Yeah.
Well, now we do.
You can't push buttons and get it in 3D. You don't watch it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, we do have that now because thanks to Doug and Alex, we're bringing that back. So I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, you know that. Good. Go ahead, Sid. That would actually, you know, when you think of it, that would really make for good radio. You know, with some, you know, with a voice like Sid's or a voice like Doug's, you know, reading, you know, something like that over the air. That would be pretty cool too, when you think of it.
It's weird you said that because I'm talking to Alex about putting something together for Nightwatch with Doug reading some wonderful story right there on the air, a special exclusive deal just on Nightwatch. It's going to be, let's hope we can work that out because that'll be very, very awesome.
That would be cool.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, Todd.
You knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, I get stoked. I can't help it, man. You know, that's one of the greatest things is, you know, thanks to the power of radio and doing the show, I've got to meet so many great people like yourselves. I've become friends with Sid. I've become friends with yourself. And Pete, actually, I met through my radio show many years ago, and we hit it off and stayed friends all these years, you know. And that's one of the coolest things is it's weird how doing this stuff can – I mean, you guys are like idols to me, and I'm able to actually work with you. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, first time we had Sid on, we crashed the server. I remember that.
It's true.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. No, actually, it wasn't funny because I thought Sid was going to be on last night. I go, well, he was. Let me call Todd. Todd goes, well, yeah, he's trying to explain this thing. And I go, don't get technically. Just tell me what the fuck happened, please.
And I said, well, he was on for about 10 minutes until like everybody and their brother logged in. And at the time, this internet thing was new. And we had a server that just wasn't prepared for it. And bam, everyone hit it once and the pipeline got clogged and everything went down.
Yeah, but that was, if I remember, we did a 2-hour show. That was a great show.
That seems to be life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. That's good though. I mean that shows you that there's people out there that are listening and that care. And I mean that's the thing that just you know, you put that picture out there with you and that Captain Spaulding makeup, and next thing you know, the whole dang thing goes down.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I remember.
My time is up. I have to leave you at this point.
Sid, always a pleasure having you on. When you get off the road in a minute, give me a shout and let's catch up and see what's going on.
We will.
Okay.
Yes. And Nick and Doug, I look forward to seeing you next weekend.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Sid.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, I guess, guys, we got to wrap it up. Again, we have Doug Bradley here and Rich from Horror Realm. Doug will be there next weekend, right after this airs, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Rich, pitch your show, damn it.
It's Pittsburgh's Modern Horror Convention. We, you know, it's going to be a great time. As you know from the guest list tonight, we have great guests, but also a wonderful vendor room, including artists. Doug will vouch for Steph. She's one of the wonderful artists that will be there. Movies going pretty much 24/7, parties. It'll be a great time.
Sounds good. Wish I could be there, but unfortunately, due to extenuating circumstances, I can't, but hopefully I'll hit the next one. And, Doug, I'd like to get you on my show, you know, if you guys, you know, you and Todd hook up what you're doing and talk some shop, too. That'd be cool.
Sure, Bug. You know where I live.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Any last words, Doug, that you'd like to tell the fans?
Not really. I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody next weekend at Horror Realm.
Thank you. We look forward to having you on again. Rich, you have a great show. I'm sure you're gonna do well out there with Sid and Doug coming out. And until next weekend, stay sick, and we'll see you then.
The booze is blowing.